morning and welcome to the Vineyard. You picked a good day to come, not just because I'm speaking, but I think we have a message that is going to change your life. That's a pretty good statement, isn't it? You know, I just passed my 78th birthday, and I'm, thank you. And in the last 50 years or so, I've been absolutely, overwhelmingly, totally convinced God is a great God who heals spirit, soul, body, relationally, physically, financially, you name it, God wants to take care of us. And I want to share some things that have happened to me through my lifetime. I think you'll find it insightful, but more than that, I wanted to change you and change the trajectory that you're on. Let me start with a story. A few weeks ago on Memorial Day, our family was playing volleyball. And if you know anything about the Lehman family, we're somewhat competitive. All of our kids played high school sports. Some of them played college sports. We're competitive. We go for it. And I was out there playing, and I don't go for it as hard as I used to, but I went for it too hard. I dove for a ball, and I had a searing pain in my knee. And I've been around a lot of athletes that have had knee injuries, ligaments, and sprains, stuff like that. And oh, my goodness, at 78, that'd be an awful thing to have. My daughter-in-law, who's a orthopedic physician's assistant at the University of Iowa Hospital, looked at it and said, yeah, you've either torn a ligament or badly sprained your knee. And my knee really hurt. They had to carry me off the court. Di drove me home, helped me get up the stairs to the bedroom. Everything wasn't looking good. But just as I was going to bed, I saw two little granddaughters were hanging around. And I said, hey, you girls, come over here and pray for my knee. So they prayed for me. It wasn't any sensational prayer, but it was full of faith. And went to bed, woke up, and I was absolutely 100% totally healed. No pain. I could run. I could jump. There were no black and blue bruises. There was nothing. I'm sitting there thinking, this is pretty good. I'm liking this a whole bunch. I could run and jump. Now, there is one downside. I have been permanently banned from volleyball and other sports. It's pretty hard to take, you know, but I guess I am getting a little older, and so I spend a lot of time watching the games now. Well, our series title is Awaken to Wholeness. And if you've been reading your daily reading in Acts, we are in an exciting part of the Bible. It is the book of Acts where these people, the early believers, just like you and me, are out there doing the stuff. There's miracles. There's amazing stories. They're changing the world. The early church changed the world they lived in. It said that over half the world they lived in became Christian. That's pretty amazing. How'd they do it? Well, it was really an explosion of love and power. There were supernatural stuff happening everywhere. If you look, and it's hard to count because sometimes it said multitudes were healed, but there's at least 25 different stories in the book of Acts about supernatural things, from physical healings to deliverances, raising the dead. Wonderful. A couple times angels show up and open prison doors. That's not bad, is it? How about being transported from one place to another? It's powerful. Every one of those stories, right after, if you read a little further, it says, and a whole bunch of people came to Jesus Christ. See, Jesus worked with those people in that generation to win their world. He wants to partner with you and me to win our world. And part of it's through the supernatural. We're going to talk about that today in my message entitled Happy's Healing Tips. How's that for an original, exciting message? I thought you'd like the title because I went so far out on a limb, took a big risk, and used something pretty simple. By the way, a few months ago, a prophetic friend of ours, Brian Blount, he spoke here. He said we'd seen 500 baptisms in the last year. We'd now see 500 miraculous healings in the coming year. I'm counting on that. I want you to pray on a regular basis. We see 500 supernatural healings in the next 12 months. Amen. So again, as I said, I am absolutely convinced God wants us to participate with him as he brings wholeness to the world. It's not our job. We participate with our Father who's going to do the whole thing. Let's pray. Father, you're the best. Show us what we're doing, how we're doing it, and where we're going so that we can be part and parcel of the kingdom. We can be involved in it, and we can have a delightful time in Jesus' name. Hey, Di, you want to bring me a glass of water? Here comes one. The enemy doesn't want me to talk today, so he's probably going to try some things. Okay, let's see what we have here. I'm going to break this into five tips, or foundations. Tip number one, you got to know God's heart. What do I mean by that? Well, everything begins with your picture of God, and unfortunately, lots of people have a really bad view of God. You know, they think that God's mad, he's untrustworthy, he's random, maybe he's mad, maybe he's uninvolved. That just doesn't work. You see, they see the Father as harsh and distant. You see him that way? Now, you don't have to raise your hand because lots of us have. I used to see him as a random character who you couldn't depend on. I didn't know if he sent the sickness or if the enemy sent the sickness. Honestly, that's when I was a teenager. I just wanted to run away from him. I figured if I could get away from God, life would be better. Jesus came to reveal a different Father. He just transforms our thinking here. You know, he showed us a picture of God who heals and forgives and welcomes people. Jesus went so far in John 14 to say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Remember, we have one God, three manifestations, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so Jesus comes to earth as a human being, fully God, fully human. He comes and he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So first thing, just a real simple thing, don't buy into this that we have one God in the Old Testament and a new God in the New Testament. That won't fly. We have one God. John 3:2 says, and here God is the Father stating his will. He said, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. See, when Di and I became Christians, we never heard a lot about the Holy Spirit. We talk a lot about the Father. We talk about the Son. We talk about the Holy Spirit. One God, but they have different ways that we relate to them. And that, in fact, when we started hearing about the Spirit and healing, we were a little bit confused because we didn't know much about it. We were closer to what I call being a deist versus a disciple. A deist is an interesting word. Many of you are affected by it. You don't even know the word. Deism means you believe in God. He created you. You're totally on your own your entire lifetime. And when you die, he shows back up, takes you home. In the meantime, he doesn't do anything with you. You're on your own. Do the best you can. Live a good life. Hope it works out. The problem is that makes God a million miles away. Through my experience, I began to learn, wait a minute, God lives inside of me. He works with me. He wants to interact with me. And so little by little, I had to drop the deism side of me, the being deistic, and move into a discipleship, a closer relationship. It transformed us. We began to see God was really, really something special who loved us. We were his son and his daughter, you know, his favorite kids. He just, his ways were amazing. He wanted to include us in what he did. We became very, very hungry for God, and it was an adventure of a lifetime. What actually happened to us is best described as we had a paradigm change. Paradigm's how you see things. You're all full of paradigms. You're living a paradigm. Put a slide up that shows Stephen Covey in a business book wrote this years ago, and I've always thought this is good. If you want to make small changes in your life, for instance, work on your behavior. If you want quantum leap changes, work on your paradigms. Now you say, well, I'm not interested in paradigms. Yes, you are. You're living your paradigm. Whatever you think life is, you're living it right now. And you're getting the results of what you're living. So if you want to live results like you see me living or somebody else, figure out what paradigm and work toward it. You can change a paradigm. They're not easy to change, but they're changeable. Everything is different, and it'll make your entire life look and feel different. This paradigm change was reinforced one time when an incident really early in my relationship with John Wimber. He was the founder of the Vineyard. I had about a 10-year period of working with him. But early in our time, he was this well-known Christian leader who was changing the face of Christianity in the Western world. and bringing in signs and wonders, bringing in power evangelism, saving people through signs and wonders. And he developed a friend in the UK named David Watson. He was also a major leader in that country. But David Watson was diagnosed with cancer, and Wimber prayed for him. He didn't get him healed. And it was sad. And Wimber thought for a while, maybe I should give it up. My friend, I can't even get my friend healed. His friend called him to his bedside as he was dying, and he said, whatever you do, don't stop praying for people as part of God's kingdom, his plan, his purposes for planet Earth. You must give your life to this. And John, of course, kept praying. And I just realized, once you take on a new paradigm, you don't take it on lightly. You decide, this is how I'm going to live my life. So in this paradigm, has everything always worked well for me? No, it hasn't. But I know what I believe. For instance, 6 years ago, maybe I had a little spot on my nose. They said it was beginning skin cancer. I prayed about it. Nothing happened. Finally, I felt the Lord said, go get it taken off. So I didn't blame God for it. I didn't say, why'd you do this to me? I just said, what do you want me to do next? I'm his servant. I work with him. He directs my life. I don't feel bad that I went and had it taken off. And in fact, I'm glad because my nose probably looks even a little better. They actually patched it up with a little skin and, you know, all that good stuff. So having said all that, when we have expectations, let me put it this way. Our expectations will never rise above our picture of God. Our expectations for healing will never rise. If you think he's a healer, you'll start to see healing. If you don't think he's a healer and he's arbitrary, you won't see much. Second tip, know your assignment. Wait, I thought I was out of school. No, you actually have an assignment, and most Christians are very, very confused about this. Acts 20:34 says, my life is worth nothing unless I use it for doing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that's a verse to all of us. I don't think that's just for me. I think it's for everybody. See, at some point, I had to realize Christianity was more than simply going to church, sitting there and listening to sermons, behaving myself, paying my taxes, giving a little, serving a little, and being nice to the neighbors. I hope you do all those things. Those are really nice things. Do them all. But Jesus didn't come to the world to have a bunch of nice people. He came to the world to have a family that would do what he's doing and do it everywhere over and over and over until you go to be with him or he returns. That's a way different job assignment, isn't it? And you have an assignment. Now, there are some Christians just don't know they have an assignment. Others are not willing to do it. See, it starts by understanding the Bible is not just this nice little collection of stories. It's a war plan. Satan overtook Adam and Eve years ago in the garden. He ruled planet Earth. 4,000 years ago, Jesus landed a baby in Bethlehem and the war began. There's two great kingdoms out there. There's the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. You can live in either one, but you've been drafted. I've been in the army, and they don't play with BB guns in the army. They play with some pretty nasty weapons, and that was 50 years ago. I can't imagine how nasty they are today. And the Bible says our weapons are beyond the weapons of the carnal nature. We're into something. Now, some of you might be AWOL. It's not a real good thing to be in the army. And some of you are prone to tell your superiors what you think. That doesn't work too well either. So, you know, I just suggest some of you re-examine what you are. Are you a spectator or a participant? Are you a bystander or an active soldier? Now, you're not out there on your own. The Spirit said he'll go with you. So it's not like you're out there on the Lone Ranger post. It's the army of God. We win. Sometimes we don't like what happens in between now and the victory, but it's just all about. So I realized this whole thing, my whole paradigm, it was a total shift. It changed my priorities, my time, energy, money, everything changed. It changed. I had to actually change careers. Now, not all of you, not many of you will probably change careers. I had to give up a career to go do this job. Lost a lot of friends. I see Walt and Veronica Stephan. There are a couple of people that stayed my friends during this time. We went to college together. Most of my friends took off. A lot of them have come back since. They realized it wasn't as weird as they thought I was back then, but, you know, cost me thousands, maybe millions of dollars to do this job. I don't regret it. This has been the adventure of a lifetime. People say, I'm bored. Well, get involved in the Army. You won't be bored. You'll be ducking left and right. You don't have time to be lazy in the Army. This is just a whole different world. It's a lifestyle. I would do it again in a heartbeat. Sometimes my kids wish I'd earned a little more money, but that's another story. They'll get over it. So, see, the understanding of our assignment is for everybody. It's not just for pastors and TV evangelists and the chosen ones. It's every Christian. Look what Jesus said in John 14, 12, one of my favorite verses. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works. Does your Bible say anyone? Yeah, is that you? Yeah, it's you, it's me. Anyone will do the same works I've done, and even greater works, because I go to be with my Father. Are you even trying to do the same works? That's your assignment. Look what it says in Mark 16. Go into all the world and preach the good news. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. Oh, I think that means everybody. They'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues, speak in new languages. They'll be able to place hands on the sick and they'll be healed. Again, that's all of us, isn't it? Not just pastors, not just TV guys, healing evangelists, believers. Everybody gets to play. Not just those that with the gift. People say, well, yeah, I know they're having a healing time, but I don't have the gift of healing. That isn't what the Bible said. See, we believe everybody gets to play. You may not be a healing evangelist, but everybody can lay hands on somebody. So, you know, I wouldn't say to anybody, I have the great gift of evangelism, but I can do evangelism. So one day, there was a workman out in the parking lot doing something here for the church, and I went out, and I knew this guy a little bit, and I said, this really suave, sophisticated evangelistic guy, why don't you come to church? He looked at me and said, I don't know. I said, we'll be there Sunday. He came Sunday, he got saved. He's been a member ever since. Now, you can make a statement that dumb. That didn't take any, you don't have to read any books for that one. You know, you just speak, you partner with the Lord. See, healing isn't something God does around us. It's something he invites us into, the assignment to continue his ministry. He came to bring wholeness to the whole world. That great Jewish word, shalom. I just wish that was in our language. Shalom means you're right in every way. Every way. And most of us aren't right in every way. Number three, take risks and learn. Boy, oh boy, I'm going to pray for lots of you. I like to take risks. Most people don't. But the healing ministry of Jesus is always taking a risk. And once you know your God's heart and your assignment, the next thing is I got to go put it in action. I can't say I'm something and never do it. See, nobody starts as an expert. When you learned to ride a bike, you probably fell a few times, didn't you? I've studied every book I can on healing. I go visit people that are better than me, that move in more gifts, signs and wonders. I want to see how they do this stuff. I want to be just like them. You know, kids used to say, I want to be like Mike, you know, like Michael Jordan. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like the best healer that ever walked on planet Earth other than him. That's my goal. I fail. I get up and go again. I have a great friend named Randy Clark. Randy is a huge, huge American evangelist that works in Brazil mostly. He's born in Southern Illinois. He and I know each other. He was in the vineyard for a while. I oversaw him. He oversaw me. Our families are intertwined. We talk to each other on a regular basis. And I went with him to Brazil. He goes there all the time, takes 2-3 trips a year. And you just see so many healings in Brazil. You can't believe it. I see, like, in 7 days, I'll see 7 years worth of healings in America. But it's exciting. And so we were praying, and a huge crowd came for ministry. And I got separated from my interpreters. And I know I don't know any words outside the English language. I'm really bad at it. I think I've got baños down. I think that's a bathroom in Spanish. But that's about it. I don't know Portuguese. And so here, this lady and a woman and her daughter standing in front of me, and this lady has a form-fitted top on with a tennis ball lump right here on her collarbone. I'm thinking, I don't know how to pray, but I guess I'm going to pray anyhow. So I start praying in English. Within 30 seconds, they start jumping around. The lump has disappeared, and the wife and the daughter are just ecstatic. I tell you what, I've never been the same ever since. Like, I just saw that. I so wanted to kind of reach in and touch, but appropriateness said, keep your hands off of her. It was just, it's one of those special moments. John Wimber, when he founded the Vineyard, you know, none of us knew what we were doing. He said, go pray for 200 people, come back and talk to me. We'll figure out what you're doing. See, growth comes through practice. Go get some training. We teach a little short class on a weekend called Learning to Minister Like Jesus. Take that. That's what these people up here are doing. They're trying to become better at what they're doing. Or if you really want to go deeper, take the School of Kingdom Ministry. It starts this fall. It'll change your life. You'll never be the same. See, it'll give you a right perspective of God, right perspective of who you are, and give you understanding of your assignment. See, I'm always looking for somebody better than me. I'm trying to figure out, what do they know that I don't know? I was helping one of my kids rewire his house. I'm pretty good at wiring things. Myself and another guy wired the first building, the whole thing. But I didn't know enough, so I called this Scott White. He's been a lifelong electrician. He makes it look easy. So I just figure out, if I'll do what he does, I'll be pretty smart myself. See how it works? Figure out somebody smarter, you know, up here on the prayer line. Watch them, work with them, talk to them, ask them questions. Taking risks, though, it's never easy. Years ago, the guy who lives across the street was a well-known doctor. He's actually in the Carl Hospital system, and well-known, and he gets in a really bad car accident, and the word on the street is he'll probably die and not live. He will be permanently disabled, and if he's not disabled, it'll be long time before he ever gets to work. You know, I've been telling people God heals. Maybe I ought to go pray for him. So I thought, I'll sneak up during the middle of the day. There'll be nobody there. And I go up to Carl, and I go in there, and there's 10 people in his room. I guess because he's a doctor, they waved the two people or whatever. 10 people, including his wife and, you know, in-laws, everybody that's close to him. Oh, Lord, what am I doing in here? So I just shut my eyes and said, I'm just going to pray really quick and get out of here. And I said three things. This man will live and not die. He'll have no lasting injuries, and he'll be out of here really quick. Less than 2 weeks later, he's back to work, fully healed. I'm sitting there thinking, this is pretty good. The people that were in the room knew the guy I worked for in my secular job. They called him up and chewed him out for having such an irresponsible employee who would go into a hospital room and pray for somebody and say such hopeful things. I thought that was what I was supposed to do. Fortunately, he got healed. It took the heat off of me. But if he hadn't got healed, you know, people say, what if he didn't get healed? I always would say, well, what if he does? The wife thanked me many times, and the kids thanked me. The day I never talked to me. I don't know why. I think I'd talk to somebody if they healed me, but, you know, Jesus did it anyhow. But again, most people don't fail for praying too much. They pray because they stop trying. How about tip number four? Follow the Holy Spirit. A lot of confusion. It breaks my heart how people, Christians, fight over the Holy Spirit. I wouldn't want to live the life without the Holy Spirit on a regular basis. And yet there are churches that just don't want it. People leave the church of the Holy Spirit. Years ago, Diane's brother was our executive pastor, and he was teaching the youth how to be filled with the Holy Spirit, speak in tongues if they wanted to. A longtime church member found out his kid had been involved with that. He left immediately and never, ever looked back. Like, why? Didn't we just read Mark 16 that says that you will speak in new tongues? But again, people have a lot of misinformation. They don't understand. If you've never read Diane's book, Hello, Holy Spirit, it's God's gift of live in help. Get it. It's good understanding, good starter point for helping you in that. You can find in that resources that's listed. You know, healing's a lot easier when we learn to partner with the Spirit. Jesus put it this way. He said in John 5:19, the Son can do nothing by himself. He only does what he sees the Father doing. How about changing that to this day? Since the Spirit's with us, we can't do anything but what we see the Spirit doing. And then we do it with him. See, We just do what the Spirit's doing. That's why I always say, keep your eyes open. Watch what he's doing. Watch where he's working. Watch what's going on. If Jesus depended on it, do you think we ought to? I think that'd probably be good advice. He's the smartest guy that ever did it. He gives wisdom. He gives impressions. He gives words of knowledge. He helps us. He makes it so much easier. All we have to do is follow along. One time, I was praying, and I was getting a word of knowledge, and I saw a picture that you would see in biology class of the esophagus, and I can still see the picture as plain as day. The head's usually turned to the side. You see the mouth. It comes through the throat, goes to the esophagus, and down to the stomach. And at the end of your esophagus and before your stomach is a little flap. I said, there's something wrong with somebody's flap on their esophagus. Sure enough, somebody comes up and they want prayer. We pray for her. She goes, comes back next week. She says, I don't know what happened, but everything's perfect. I don't have any more problems left. I think that's all been healed. I don't see her. Yeah. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. I don't see her for a while. And then I hear that since she got healed, she decided she needed to find a real church. I thought, You know, some days people don't think well, and some days they're just not very smart. And I thought, okay, I thought a real church did what Jesus did, and it's his family participating in his stuff, but she evidently didn't think so, so I guess I hope she found out what happened. I lost track of her. Speaking of the Spirit, sometimes he'll just have you blurt a word out. Be careful when you're around me because I do tend to say things strangely at times, and sometimes they're from God. I'll give you an illustration. This businessman came to visit the church one time, and I was chatting him up, and he said, yeah, I own such and such a business, but I'm selling it. I looked at him and said, you know what? I think you should sell that business right now. I thought, oh boy, that was a strange comment. Where'd that come from? We chatted a little more. A few weeks later, I get a note from this guy, and he says, thank you for telling me to sell my business. I sold it and made way more money than if I'd have kept it to as long as I was thinking of keeping it. And here's an offering for the church. I thought, that's interesting. And it dawned on me that certain words I say to people might be from the Spirit rather than from me. So you got to be careful when you're talking to me. You never quite know. You never quite know anyhow when you're talking to me. But now you have to be alert. It could be the Holy Spirit. See, be attentive wherever you are. Sitting there in the back, Yvonne and Corbett Griffith, one day I was out at Farm and Fleet getting something for the yard or something. And I saw them, and Corbett seemed a little bit down in the mouth, you know, didn't a little unhappy. I said, what's the matter? He said, well, I've been diagnosed with a brain tumor. I said, well, we don't believe in that. Yvonne, pray with me. We agreed. Within a couple of weeks, I saw him again. He said, look, whatever I had is gone. He hadn't had a problem ever since. See, if somebody says to you something like that, take a moment and just pray with them. Just pray right then and there. I get in over my head at times. You know, one of my favorite verses is Psalm 36, 19. Many are the problems of the righteous, but God delivers us from all of them. So I'm over in the Ivory Coast. That's a country in Africa where we do mission work. And I'm speaking on Sunday morning. The pastor gets up and said, Happy's agreed to pray for everybody wants prayer. I thought, wait, we pray in teams. My whole team's waiting over here. No, they want you. Okay. When you're in mission field, you kind of do what they want you to do. So, but here's the problem. Ivory Coast are wonderful people. They got a serious, serious communication problem. They're supposed to speak French as a country, but they have 75 languages in an area about the size of Illinois, and they don't know each other's language. And it's like, now what do I do? I don't know what to say. So I start praying in English. I just ask God to heal them from head to toe and fix whatever was wrong. Within 30 seconds, all 30 of those people went past me, each one about 30 seconds, and each one started jumping up and went over and told the pastor, I'm healed. I never saw anything like it in my life. 30 healings in 15 minutes, and they're all healed. I can assure you that I didn't feel any great anointing. I was just trying to obey the Spirit. He's the healer. We just do the work. Okay, so our job isn't to make things happen. Our job is just to pay attention and cooperate. Number five, don't give up. It's easier to give up in our life than it is to keep going. Diet, I don't think so. I think I'll go back to my old ways. I'm going to go to the fitness center. I tried it for 2 weeks. You know, it's kind of hard. We just quit things, don't we? We get started on something good and we quit. It's easier to find a less challenging way. Not every prayer you'll pray will get answered, but it's still my assignment. I had two sons. Good football players have ankle injuries. Each had two surgeries. Think we didn't pray over that? We prayed lots. We didn't see it happen. You know, good things turned out from it, but it isn't what we prayed for. I still want to see it right here, right now. I didn't sign up to read about good healings elsewhere. I signed up to do them. That's what I think you did. See, don't ever let your experience override your theology. Psalm 103, verse 3, it says, he forgives all my sins. He heals all my diseases. Is it true or not that he forgave your sins? What about healing? It's the same word of all. Yeah, he did. Do we always see everything happen quite like we want? No, but it doesn't mean I'm going to change. One day Jesus was healing people in John 6, and the people said, hey, we want to do what you're doing. Jesus responds, this is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one he sent. Believe what? Believe that the kingdom has come. Believe that healing is part of the kingdom. Believe your assignments to participate. Believe that the Holy Spirit lives in you. Believe that God loves you and wants to partner with you. It all fits together. So we keep on praying. We keep on believing. We keep on growing. Don't quit too soon. I went to the on a ministry trip to London one time. And actually, our team got sent over to Liverpool. Liverpool is famous for the Beatles, of course. That's where they came from. And we're praying, and in my prayer group, before I'd gone on the trip, I prayed that God give me a blind eye that we can open. And so there certainly was a woman came up with a blind eye, and a doctor was in my prayer team. And he said, I'm an eye doctor, and he examined her, and he said, she can't see. And we prayed for her for about 45 minutes, but after about 20 minutes, she began to see a little bit. And at 30 minutes, she began to see a little, 40 and 45. By the time we were 45, she could see plainly for 20 feet, and then it became fuzzy thereafter. And I have no idea why the Holy Spirit would only take me to 20 feet on that prayer. But I thank God he did. I've never forgotten the story. I never forgot. I can see the woman's face to this day, probably 30, 40 years ago that I did that. We were in Mali a few years ago and saw a person with one blind eye get open. Two or three of us were praying, and the guy... We had tested him. He couldn't see. Then he could see. And we thought, wow, this is fun. Let's do this again. See, I learned something, though. Sometimes you have to stick with prayer a little longer. Occasionally, we just pray, you know, a quick prayer, and we hope that does it. Sometimes you have to wrestle with these things. I'm not saying you never can quit. If I were to say you got to pray until you get healing, somebody might be here until you die, you know. I don't mean that, but you can just say it after a while. You can say, hey, listen, we prayed as much as I know to pray. Let's get somebody new in the prayer group. Let's try tomorrow. There's various ways you can get out. That's a whole other message. But again, the people who see the most healing are usually the people who haven't stopped praying. Well, I've given you a lot. I have lots of more stories, but let me just summarize. I said five things. Know God's heart. Know your assignment. Take risks and learn. Follow the Spirit. Never give up. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. Diane and I just recently have been reading another book by a guy who moves in healing out of Europe. And it's just, I'm expecting God to move. And I want you to join in the adventure as we all become awakened to wholeness together. Let's see what God wants to do. He wants to transform Central Illinois and beyond. And he's going to use you and me to do it. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, thank you, thank you that you are just the best teacher, the best at helping us, and you have a great assignment for us. Father, we accept collectively. Show us how we can do what you want us to do and how we can partner with you. Lord, do more than we can ask or imagine in Jesus' name. Amen.